Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
name is Yom Suf Arif, and welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. I, along with Cartrell, whom has a first breath day today. And what I mean by breath day, I mean that it was first day he started breathing. On the 6th. A lot of people like to have days and days and days and days, but there's only one first breath day. You have an end date, but in between, there's a lot more breath days. So I like to praise y'all for giving Cartrell 65 years of breathing in this hemisphere, this prison system we seem to find ourselves in. And I like to thank Cartrell for making it 65 years. It's difficult to do so in this prison system, but he's been blessed by Yah, and he's been very successful in doing so. And I'm happy to have him as a lead student along with me on the Real Talk for Real People show. We're going to get right to him right after this. What the Real Talk for Real People show is about is about studying the Most High. It's about understanding the dynamics of the relationship with him in that contract, if you have a contract with him. And if you don't have a contract with him, you're still under his subjugation. It's true. Strangers, different nations. And as you will see in the beginning of our studies come next week, when the king of Persia understood the dynamics of that relationship. Yes, strangers, different nations. Sometimes they understand the dynamics far better than we do, Cartrell and fellow students. Even in this Western Hemisphere, they understand us far better than we do ourselves. That's why we have a propensity to be like our forefathers, stiff-necked and stubborn. Yes, it's true. And it hadn't changed that much. That's why we are in the boat we find ourselves in, universally speaking. But as I said, other nations sort of understood the Most High far better than some of us do. Strangers. Even though they didn't have a contract with him, they respected the dynamics of the relationship because they understood that he ran everything and everybody. It's true. So we try to get you to understand the dynamics of this relationship with the Most High. It is the most important relationship. Let me tell you, it is the most important relationship, and ain't no shucking and diving with it that you will ever have in your life. And don't be trying to play with it. Don't be trying to play around it. Don't be trying to get around it. Don't be trying to show up, show off, and showboat with it, because you won't win. You have to play it to the letter. You're going to have to cross every T and dot every I. It's no game, people, this relationship that you should have with the Most High. That's why we get into these studies, so you can understand. Also, that would apply to one another. Some of us think for some odd reason, unbeknownst to me, and I hadn't found it anywhere in our studies, that they can treat their brothers and sisters any old messy old tacky old way. Yeah, they can name call them. They can stab them in the back. They can kill them. They can mistreat the sister, prostitute them, and so on and so forth. And won't be called to challenge on it. Won't be held accountable for it. That's nonsense. That's why these studies, in addition, are very important to you. Ain't no getting around it. And as I said when I started this conversation off, nations, different nations, strangers, aliens, having a relationship with those that, who wants to have a relationship. Because some nations understand the Almighty, Yah, much more than some of us do. It's true. But before we get started in our studies, I want to say one thing simply on a contemporary subject. I went to do a disaster assessment of a young woman. And that's why you never judge a book by its cover. And I was kind of, you know, feeling myself. You know, and I was being prejudicial. I didn't know that woman from the man in the moon. And I was being biased. I said, it's been 4 or 5 days. She is trying to get over, you know what I mean? See, we need to stop doing it with one another. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. This story that I'm about to tell you will clue you in. Stop judging people. If you don't know what's going on, shut your mouth and find out first before you get running your mouth off about other folks. Okay. So Yam Suf goes to do a disaster assessment on a house that she lived in that had had some burnt issues several days ago. And normally Red Cross doesn't provide any support after the utility zone. And what the utilities were still on this afternoon. And I had to wait on a young lady, and that made things rather irritating for me, to say the least. And she got there. She was very pleasant. We spoke. I went in the house, took pictures and whatnot. And a little baby was with her. I really didn't pay any attention to the baby, all that much, that a little child, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And I took pictures and so on and so forth. And so I called to the Red Cross, and I give my evaluation. I said, I understood that we don't normally give people services with the utility. I said, but I strongly advise that you do so. And come to find out, the young woman is 20 years old. She was taking care of her brothers and sisters. She dropped out of college. Her mother had recently died 3 days ago, 38 years old, from COVID-19. And she was trying to keep the family together. And she was trying her damnedest to keep their family together. You know, and even 20 years old, I had high esteem and regard for her. And I knew that you can't keep no babies in no house like that. There'd been a fire. And that fire was very, it had went up into the roofing. And I told Red Cross, I said, no, I wouldn't even put my babies in that house. And I said, I know y'all don't normally do this, but under the circumstances, I think y'all ought to give us some. Me being with the Red Cross, they have a high degree of respect for me. No, I don't normally push for people if I think it's by game. And they know I normally push for people if I think it's something serious. And they think they want to help. And I thought well of her, and I thought well of her mother that had recently passed away 3 days ago for COVID-19. And the reason why I said is we need to take COVID-19 really serious. This 38-year-old mother, left her child to have to take care of her brothers and sisters. And you know, I mentioned that the little young baby that was running around when they got back to the house for me to take, the young girl had mental illness. But I don't really focus on things like that. I just knew it was a little child running around me and whatnot. You know, and I felt for something pulled me toward the child, but I really was focused on the job at hand. And I knew something was, it pulled me toward the little child, but I really didn't pay that or give it all that much attention until her auntie, whom the young lady was staying with at that time, had told me, you know that little girl that was running around? I said, yeah. She said, she's mentally ill. I said, I really didn't pay that mind because I didn't really focus on the child. I was focused on trying to get the job done and listen to what she had to say about what happened. And I said that to say this, we need to stop focusing on the big picture. And sometimes, as in the Most High said, it is the little foxes that spoil the grapes. We need to stop paying much more attention to detail when it comes to one another. And certainly, I was embarrassed for myself to be so biased and judgmental when I didn't know the dynamics of the circumstances. And we need to stop being like that judgment and biased when we don't know the dynamic of the circumstances. And I was happy to be able to say, she said, and I called her. I said, what did Red Cross do for you? And I called two people at Red Cross to push the issue of her getting services. She said, yeah, they sent me so-and-so money and whatnot. I said, okay, that's good. Matter of fact, I called Red Cross people back. I said, I appreciate you helping that young lady. She deserves the help under the circumstances with her mother and her trying to take care of her siblings, being 20 years old and trying to take care of eight more siblings, try to keep them together in a house that was fire inundated. And her mother died from COVID-19. And come to find out, the mother was at, I asked the sister of the mother, the auntie, I said, what was the mother doing? Was she running around or whatnot? She said, no, she'd just be in the house right there. And she would go to her job at child care services to take care of children. I said, well, you know, those children are prone to carry a lot of diseases because they're young like that. And I said, perhaps she got it at her job at the child care service to take care of those children. And so sometimes when you're in a position to do for your brothers and sisters, please stop being judgmental. Learn to know the dynamics of the circumstances before you start running your mouth or being judgmental. In the case of Young Suf, and I feel embarrassed by it. And I feel embarrassed telling you it's true. And some that's why King Solomon said all of us sin. So don't think yourself something special, that you're not biased or sometimes make mistakes about certain things. And when you find out you make mistakes about certain, own up to it and correct the matter. And be careful out there with COVID-19. I see the end result sometimes. It ain't pretty. My name is Young Suf. I'm going to bring my dear brother and friend on. And happy additional breath days, Cottrell. May the Most High bless you and your family. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Yaakov. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Young Suf, Ari, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. My pleasure. May he bless your family also. I know they did something for you over there. I know the wife probably cooked you a nice dinner and whatnot, you know, and cheered and maybe bought you some I love you daddy gifts. But that's okay. That's okay. That's a good thing. Hey, if I was around, I'd have caught up with you. I would have said, Katria, you said, what up, Sue? Come on, man. Hang out with me, man. Come on, hang out with me, man. Have a drink with me or whatnot on your day. Here a few dollars. Get yourself something, okay? I mean, if I was living close by you, I would have did that for you. You want to go eat some lunch or whatnot? I'd have did that for you, okay? Ain't too often you reach that age and go through the things we went through, Cartier, and you reach that eldership. A lot of folks don't make it. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, it was pretty much a day like that because my adopted son, Yeremiahu, came through.
Uh-huh.
My son came through. And some other brothers came through to celebrate with me my birthday. So you're definitely in the right spirit because you probably would have came through. Like you said, you was close.
Oh, yeah. I would have came through, bro. Well, no doubt. No doubt I would. I said, let me drop my coattail, as little Gregory called you. I said, let me holler at coattail. Let me take him to lunch and whatnot. You know, put a little few dollars in his pocket, you know, and so on and so forth. That's what we should be doing, Cartier. We should be trying to love one another, support and encourage one another, motivate each other. That's part of our responsibility, you know, and we need to take it quite seriously, Cartier.
Yes, sir, and my prayers go out for that young lady that lost her mother, and that's to take responsibility for those little children. May the Most High hear her cry and her prayer and help her in her situation.
Amen, but, brother.
I'm so glad that I wasn't born in these days and time, that it was 65 years ago, because I got a chance to see better days. And
exactly.
I feel so bad for the young people and the people of this generation that are living in these times, because these are some harrowing times.
It is.
COVID and all that's going on in the world. Where are we going with this?
I know it, brother. I concur with you 100%, Cartier. 110%.
And I want to thank my sister, Abia. She gave me a call. Talked to her earlier today.
That's
and,
good.
She wished me well on my birthday.
Abia got a lot of good sense. Abia got, and she love you. She don't say it that much, but I know for a fact she love you like a brother, and she has high regard and esteem for you, too. And the whole family love you. I mean, even Gregory, you his coattail, okay? So what can you say? You in the family.
Oh, yeah, we want one family, one nation, one family under the Most High. And we trying to get out this hole that we in.
Blood in, brother. Blood in.
We study, which is the heart of the Most High. And we seeking him sincerely.
Exactly, Katria. Blood in, brother. Blood in. All right. Let me see if Abia has anything to say to you before we continue on. Abby, I may the Most High bless you, dear sister. You have anything to say to Coattail?
No, not really. Shalom, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I just said the same as I said this morning. happy Lord's Day, and I wish you many, many more. Bless by now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Abby. May the Most High bless you.
Bless you too, brother.
Thank you. All right, Cottrell. You ready to get started, brother?
No doubt.
Okay, here's how it's going to go, brothers and sisters. We're going to finish our studies in 2 Chronicles, starting at chapter 32. We'll complete these studies, Most High willing, this Friday. We will take a day, we'll take an extended vacation Friday through Monday, and Tuesday, the Most High willing, we'll be back up and running. I suggest that you start right now reading and studying in Ezra, knowing the dynamics of the story, knowing the place, knowing the king at that time of Persia, knowing some things about it, knowing some things about Ezra, knowing some things about the brothers and sisters and the dynamics of going back home and whatnot. I told you we're going to get much more detailed study. So study somewhat about any additional studies on the king of Persia and the dynamics, what the land hailed from, the ancient Persian Empire, what it encompassed. Well, I'll tell you a secret. Iran, Turkey, some Afghanistan, some Pakistan, Iran. Okay, I said that. Okay. Those are some of the regions that the Persian Empire encompassed at that time. So you need to have a understanding of what it looked like for our brothers and sisters, where they were. And you need to understand that mindset. You need to understand the mindset of the Persian king, Cyrus, and so on and so forth. So as I said, we're going to get much more detail in these studies. So if you can do any, dig up any additional information, it will work in your benefit, okay? Okay. All right. Cottrell, fellow Lee student, and students, open your books up to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. May the Most High bless you. And open your eyes. And then once that's been done, you make the right application. There's only one application, okay? After the faithful deeds, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Yehuda and kept against it fortified towns with the aim of taking them over. When King Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, intent on making war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officers and warriors about stopping the flow of the spring outside the city. And they supported him. A large force was assembled to stop up all the springs and the wadi that flowed through the land, for otherwise they thought the king of Assyria would come and find water. They didn't want to give him a watering source, that he would find water in abundance. He acted with vigor, filling the whole breach wall, raising towers on it, and building another wall outside. He had a double wall. He made a double wall. He fortified the Milo of the city of King Dawud and made a great quantity of arms and shields, imported battle officers over the people, then gathered them to him in the square of the city gate. He rallied them, saying, "Be strong, of good courage. Do not be frightened or dismayed by the king of Assyria or by the horde that is with him. For we have more with us than he with him." We have the X factor, what he's alluding to. With him is armor, flesh. As I said, he was alluding to the X factor. And y'all need this X factor more than anything that you ever need in your life. That's why I said, you have to understand the dynamics of your relationship with Yah. You need independence, as King Dawud understood. He needed to be his rock. He needed the X factor to be his buffer. He needed the X factor to be his shield. He needed the X factor to be his tower that he ran to. And see, you have to understand in everything you partake of in life, whether it be COVID-19, trouble in your home, trouble on your job, I mean, may it be universal white race supremacy, may it be the LGBTQ, XYZT, and sometimes they try to get at you and me, maybe it be them. You have the X factor. Use your X factor, okay? Be strong. Be of good courage. I don't care what everybody is doing. What you're supposed to be doing. Don't focus on what they're doing. Focus on your relationship with the Creator and what you should be doing. And he says, they just got arms of flesh. That ain't about nothing. That don't matter because it doesn't mean anything. But with us, we have the X factor. Yeah, our Elohim to help us and to fight our battles. Every one of them, not some of them. The people were encouraged by the speech of King Hezekiah. It was motivating of Yehuda. Afterwards, King Sennacherib, man, that's a tongue, just a Sennacherib. Say it again, country.
Sennacherib.
I tell you what, it's still a tongue twister. Of Assyria sent his officers to Jerusalem. He and all his staff being at Lachish with this message to King Hezekiah of Yehuda, to all the people of Yehuda who were in Jerusalem. Thus said King Sennacherib of Assyria, on what do you trust to enable you to endure a siege in Jerusalem? King Hezekiah is seducing you to death and hunger and thirst. Yah, our Elohim will save us from the king of Assyria. But it is not King Hezekiah who removed his shrines and his altars and commanded the people of Yehuda and Jerusalem, saying, before this one altar, you should prostrate yourself. See, he got rid of all y'all little churches. And he didn't tell y'all just need to stand before y'all. Y'all don't need no church. And prostrate yourself upon it and make burnt offerings. Now, did he tell y'all that?
Supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what he said. But he's questioning. He's trying to put doubt in the brothers and sisters' mind. Surely you know what I and my fathers have done to the people of the land. Now, y'all already know what we've done. Y'all already know what we're about. Y'all know what we do. Gods of the nations, of the lands, able to save their land from me? Were those other gods, were they able to save their lands from me? Y'all think about that now. This man got y'all prostrating for this one altar. He didn't get rid of the rest of them. He got y'all prostrated for this one altar. Now, these other nations had many other gods, I'm telling you now. But it didn't do them a whole world good. Now, he got y'all prostrated for this one altar. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How you think that's going to work? Trying to put so doubt in the brothers and sisters' mind. Think about that. They still do it. People still do the same thing to you. And destroy and save his people from me. That questioning. That your should be able to save you from me. Now, then, do not let King Hezekiah deceive you. Do not let him seduce you in this way. Do not believe him. For no other god of any nation or kingdom have been able to save his people from me or from my fathers, much less your Yah, to save you from me. Now, let me tell you something now. Don't listen to King Hezekiah, all that nonsense he talked about. Because all these other nations, they tried to do it. Now, you got this one God, Yah, y'all call him. And don't let King Hezekiah put y'all in no trick bag, okay? Because Those other nations, God, they had many of them, Dad. Churches on every corner. But it didn't do no, them no good. Don't let King Hezekiah put y'all in no trick bag. So he says, his officers said still more things against Yah, Elohim, against his servant King Hezekiah. Not only the king spoke bad against Yah, his officers, his frontline officers, they spoke bad about Yah too. Oh, man.
He's really like, ah, they got one guy, it ain't y'all. we gonna get him. Hey, man, what y'all? What y'all got it? His name y'all. He the hell of him or y'all? Oh, yeah. Other nations said the same thing, player. We got him. We gonna get you, too. Messing with you, trying to get in their head. Don't let people get in your head, okay? And they said against him, and then they spoke against King Hezekiah. They badmouthed him too. He also wrote letters reviling Yah, Elohim of Israel. He even double down, he wrote letters, nasty letters, saying of him, just as the gods of the other nations of the earth did not save the people for me, so Yah of King Hezekiah would not save his people for me. Wrote letters, had to double down on it. They called loudly in the language of Yehuda. They spoke in our language to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them. Check it out. Why did they do that? To get in your head, man. To get in your game. That's what people do every day. People do this every day to you. To get in your head. They do it with COVID-19. They do it with the LBGTXYZ, and they try to get you in me. They do it with everything, trying to get in your head. Don't let them get you off your game. Do not let them get you off your game. And he says, to frighten them and to panic. And why? So as to capture the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem, the Elohim of Jerusalem, as though they put him in the same category as other gods. You can't put Yah in the same category as other gods. Try as you may, you can't. They tried to dumb him down. They tried to make him seem like he wasn't nothing. And I know that some people try to make you feel like they're throwing a fellow suit. They try to make you feel like, no, it ain't no Yah. But little Gregory knows better than that. Little Gregory will tell you first quarter. I ain't trying to hear all that. Little Gregory tell you first quarter. He has the spirit of a child. But even with that spirit of a child, he understands the dynamics and the poisons of relation with y'all. I ain't trying to hear all that. He'll tell you first quarter, Gregory. No, ain't no Jesus. It's y'all. You can't put that into his head. And you shouldn't let people put that, especially the gods of your enemy. You've chosen the gods of your enemy over your own creator, your own Elohim. Come on now. You got to be like these brothers and sisters. You got to be like King Hezekiah. You got to be like King David. You got to be like Joshua. You got to be like Moses. You got to be like King Queen Esther, Mordecai. You have to be like Deborah. I don't care what somebody's telling you. When you know better, you got to do better. And you don't let nobody throw you off your game. Because if they throw you into a panic, then they can get at you. Don't let these people throw you off your game and throw you into a panic. Oh, the plague has come on, Lord. Jesus, save me, Jesus. Save me, Allah. Save me, Buddha. Did these brothers and sisters do that? Did King Hezekiah do that? And why are you doing it? What gives you the authority to do it? What makes it all right for you to do it? That's why these studies are imperative and pertinent, because they help improve and involve you and help enhance and embellish your relationship with the Creator. This ain't no joke, people. It's something serious. Zechariah knew it. Our brothers and sisters standing in the walls in Jerusalem knew it. But do you know it? Or do you let people throw you into a panic that you choose the gods of your oppressor? And you think that's going to solve your problem. Well, 402 years in counting, I think that would tell me something. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy when they were lynching you. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy when they had your own plantation raping and murdering you. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy ever since they had you shooting water holes at you and putting dogs at you. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy ever since you fought in every war that they ever had, and they ain't never gave you no peace of mind. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy ever since they killed Emmett Till. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy ever since they killed Tamir Rice. You've been calling on the gods of your enemy ever since they taken the vote from you and kept it from you, and you still are. You tell me what sense that make. See, some of y'all got the game twisted. You think just cause Yum Su laugh and joke. See, you don't understand Yum Su. See, Yum Su will put you at ease. Some super, that old nigga don't know what he's doing. He just laughs. You don't know nothing about Yum Su. See, here's what Yum Su does. Yum Su puts you at ease. And then you take Yum Su for a fool. But when Yum Su go for the juggler on you, meaning when Yum Su use y'all word on you, you all shook up. So don't get the game twisted, player, because here's the deal. Yum Su know who butters his bread. Yum Su knows who to prostrate before. It ain't the enemy of his God. It ain't the gods of his enemies. Just like our brothers and sisters back in the day. Just like King Hezekiah. So don't get the game twisted. Yum Su have a sense of humor. But ain't nothing weak about Yum Su. You know why? Because ain't nothing weak about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Ain't nothing weak about the God I run to. That's my shield, my buckler, my rock, my high tower. And praise be his name. Follow? I ain't calling on Buddha. I ain't calling on Jesus. I ain't calling on none of that. Name I call on is Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Just like our brothers and sisters. Because they knew the X factor. They knew wherein their solution came from. But some of y'all got it twisted. You know why you got it twisted? Because you don't study. You go alone to get along. You just, they marching in the gay parade. I'm a marching one too. They marching in Black Lives Matter. I'm a marching one too. Any march they give you. You jump right on in it and you lead the parade. I'm not jumping in no marching. The Most High ain't told me to march on nothing. The only time he told the brothers and sisters to march on something when he brought forth Jericho down. And that was to bring them down. That was not to have a kumbaya moment. You can't have a kumbaya moment with your enemies. As I said, in relationships, there are some enemies that will have a relationship with you because they understand and respect the dynamics of the Most High, and they respect your Elohim. They respect Yah. But there are some enemies that don't want to have a kumbaya moment with you. 402 years in counting should be indicative of the fact that we are living among them. You better believe it. Let's continue in our study, shall we? They spoke of the Yah of Jerusalem as though he were like the gods of the people of the earth, made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophets, Isaiah, we know him, Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed about this. That's what you need to do. Anytime something assail you, anytime you have any problem, if it be COVID-19, if it be the LGBTQ, XYZ trying to get at you and me, I don't care what it is. Whatever problem you got, use your X factor. That's what it's there for. Then Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to the heavens. Yah sent an angel who annihilated every mighty warrior and commander, officer, and the army of the king of Assyria. And he returned in disgrace to his land. He entered the house of his God, and there some of his offspring struck him down by the sword. Thus Yah delivered King Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from King Shaknakam, Kadria, that's a hard one, of Assyria. And from everyone, he provided for them on our side. See, y'all see, man, do y'all get this? You don't have to march for support. You don't have to beg your life matter. You don't have to vote it in. You don't have to do none of that. All that you had to do is turn to the east, from whence hail the temple, raise your hand in supplication and get it on. Get in contact with your Elohim. You don't have to go to Allah. You don't have to go to Buddha. You don't have to go to Jesus. You don't have to go to God to your enemies. You have to reactivate the plan, man, woman. Is in place. You have to reactivate the plan. And this is the plan left. One of the dynamics of the plan. Let's get back to our studies. King Hezekiah of Yehuda thereafter, he was exalted in the eyes of all the nations because him having a quality relationship with Yah and activating the plan. At that time, King Hezekiah fell deadly sick. He prayed to Yah, who responded to him and gave him a sign. King Hezekiah made no return for what had been bestowed upon him. Here's a problem. Here's a problem that we have. And I see it all the time among brothers and sisters, conscious brothers and sisters. We get the big head. We get beside ourselves. We want to show up, show out, and showboat. We don't want to give credit what credit's due. We get beside ourselves. Well, we get the accolations of different nature. Oh, they talking about your suit. Your suit's something special. Oh, yes, sir, Bob. Oh, yeah. And then I forget about y'all. I forget about my friendship. I forget about my relationship. I forget about my rock. I forget about my buckler. I forget about my shield. I forget about my high top. And boy, I get beside myself. That's the problem we all have. That's why I suggest to each and every one of you fellow students, the first thing you ought to pray coming out your mouth is humility. That you don't get beside yourself. That you don't ever get beside yourself. That you have the ability like Job, some of you call him. That you have the ability like Moses, you call him. So that you don't get beside yourself. Even then, that being said, folk can make you mad in the case of Moses and have you doing things out of character. Don't let folk get you out of character and panic you. And don't get beside yourself. Don't think all the good things happen to you are just because of you. And you something special. And you become arrogant. Because you done got out the plan then.
You done got totally out to plan. Pride comes before a fall. Let's continue studying. King Hezekiah made no return. Well, he didn't give acknowledgement. He was sick. The Most High helped him. He didn't even acknowledge it. He said, hey, man, the Most High restored my health. All praises be in that. I'm going to tell you, Most High has restored my health. Doctor didn't do it. My mama didn't do it. Contrary to my dear friend and brother, I love him dearly. Just like a brother from a different mother. He didn't do it. I love Abigail. A sister from another mother. She didn't do it. You know what helped Yom Suf? You know what has helped Yom Suf physically? And I acknowledge this. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Therein lies my rock, shield, buckler, and high tower. Always, forever and a day. And I'm going to give acknowledgement. I'm going to give praise and blessing to the Most High name. Now, you can get beside yourself. And then King Hezekiah, we all know he was a good guy. He was a good guy. Even good guys and good girls make mistakes and get beside themselves. Don't ever do that. This is a lesson to be learned here. It says, King Hezekiah humbled himself. Then King Hezekiah humbled himself where he had been arrogant, and he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And see how things worked out? He slowed his roll. He acknowledged his shortcomings. What happened as a result in this relationship? Let's find out. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, and no wrath of Yah came on them during the reign of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah enjoyed riches and glory in abundance. He filled the treasuries with silver and gold, precious stones, spices, shields, not for himself, but for the Most High and the nation and all lovely objects. And the storage cities. With the produce of grain and wine and oil and stalls for all kinds of beasts and flocks for sheepfolds. He acquired towns and flocks of small and large cattle in great numbers, for Yah endowed him with very many possessions, and he can do it for you if he wants to. And then sometimes you don't need it anyway. You're not the king. But if he can help you, take advantage of the situation. But you got to be humble. You can't get arrogant. You can't get beside yourself. And you got to acknowledge Yah and everything you got. It was King Hezekiah who stopped up the spring of water of Upper Gihon, leading it downward west of the city of King David. King Hezekiah prospered all that he did. So too in the matter of ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who was sent to him to inquire about the sign that was in the land, when Yah forsook him in order to test him, to learn all that was in his mind. Yah gonna test you. Let me tell you something. You can't get in this and think you ain't gonna get tested. See, some of y'all think it's a game. I just get it. I'm in it to win it. Yeah, you in it to win it. But that don't mean you ain't gonna get tested. That don't mean ain't nothing gonna come at you. But you got to stay the course. That's why we suggested at the end of every study session that you pray for a steadfast spirit, because it's going to come sooner or later. The test's going to come. Let's continue. The other events of King Hezekiah's reign and his faithful acts are recorded in the visions of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, in the book of the kings of Yehuda and Israel. King Hezekiah slept with his fathers and was buried on the upper part of the tombs of the sons of King David. He was buried in high status when he died. All the people of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem accorded him much honor. Manasseh, his son, succeeded him. All right. That's very informative, wasn't it? Cottrell, what say you, my brother and friend? What is your commentary?
Regarding King Hezekiah, he being one of the few righteous kings in Judah.
Amen.
In the nation of Israel. Stuck to the script faithfully.
Exactly.
In the story that we're reading about him, it shows that he wasn't perfect. The fact that he wasn't perfect, he didn't lean on his imperfections. He worked on his imperfections. So he slipped once, but he didn't slip so severely with the anger and the wrath of Yah took the throne from him. He did have tremendous prophets around him, the prophet Isaiah. And we know that the words of the prophet Isaiah were very powerful, are very powerful, even when we just read what he wrote down on the pages. I can't imagine meeting the prophet Isaiah himself. But the fact that King Hezekiah was stout-hearted in the studies of his father, King David, King Solomon, and the righteous kings, he prevailed, and he was prosperous as a king. And it didn't matter that the Assyrians were greater and mightier than him and tried to use psychological warfare against him and the people by putting doubts and fears in their mind, which that's a strategy of war. It's called psych-ops. Muhammad Ali used to do that. Muhammad Ali, before every fight, he would give his opponent some kind of silly name to, like, diminish their character. And he would embellish that. I forgot what he called Sonny Liston. He called somebody the acorn. He called Joe Frazier a dummy and a gorilla. But all this was psych-ops before he went into a battle. And Muhammad Ali was pretty successful in the psych-ops with making Jews to put fear in their opponents. But the fact that King Hezekiah stuck to the script is what's so important, because Yah will be with you when you humble yourself, when you call on him in your times of trouble, in your times of need. And King Hezekiah was cool, calm, and collected with all the boasting, with all the psych-ops, and he did what he had to do, and he got the victory. And he didn't actually get the victory. Yah got the victory. These Assyrian kings, these Assyrian warriors. He didn't have to lift up a bow, a sword, a knife, or anything. Yah fought the battle for him. So you have to have that kind of confidence today, because they're definitely using psych-ops on our people today. And when we have fear, we lose our blessing.
Amen.
Because we're liable to do anything.
Amen. You can't have fear, Cartier. You can't have fear, fellow students. I mean, I'm not seeing that there should be any concerns. There should be some concerns of any situation. But what I'm saying, there's two kinds of fears. There's fears that I understand because we're human beings. And there are fears that paralyze you. There are fears that cause you to panic and do what everybody else is doing just because everybody's doing it. You don't let fear paralyze you or let fear compel you to do things just because everyone else is doing it. And when you know better, yeah, there should be some apprehension on anything. But there should be total confidence and trust in Yah that he's going to solve the problem. He's going to get to the solution of the problem. That's all. Go ahead, Katrina.
Well, that's the confidence that we see in our king, King Hezekiah. With all this boasting, with the big army that he saw, he's outnumbered, he's outgunned. He didn't have any fear. And the secret to his holy boldness, the lack of fear, was that he had more confidence in the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you got confidence in Yah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there should be no fear in you. If you don't, you have fears and doubts. You're going to do what some other kings were doing. You have fears and doubts. You're going to send another king like he's the king, and you're going to hide amongst the men. When you were the one that started the battle, King Ahaz. But anyway, it's a tremendous lesson. Most High commands us not to have any fear, because he is our savior, he's our refuge, he's our high tower, and he fights our battles for us. literal wards like King Hezekiah was in. King Hezekiah didn't do anything to the Assyrians to provoke them to attack him. So he was confident. I haven't done the Assyrians wrong. They're attacking me with no cause. I'm a trust in the God of Abraham, the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the king tried to ridicule him, but he went home embarrassed, didn't he?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Matter of fact, he went home and his own people killed him.
Yeah. Patrio said a mouthful like that. You better believe it. Well, Patrio, if you're done with your commentary, and it was a good commentary, may the Most High bless you. Cartrell, we're always looking for a beautiful song at the end of these study sessions that you can break down for us like we're 4 years old. And we're all ears for another lovely song. Actually, it's a song in the Book of Psalms.
Yes, sir. We're in the Book of Psalms, the 75th chapter. This one is a composition of the famous singer Asaph. Call it a song, but it's a song. So these Israelites put up these songs when a nation was in trouble, when we were threatened by other nations, and these are the songs that they sang in order to invoke the help and the assistance of the Most High in the battles that we fought. So we just read about one. King Hezekiah and the Assyrians, King Sennacherib. And I'm sure this song was around at that time. So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for even all the composers of the Psalms, our King David, Moshe, the singer Asaph. I wonder what his voice sounded like. Psalm 75.
Amen.
We praise you, Elohim. We praise you. Your presence draws near. As we declare your wonderful deeds, so we do. We declare the wonderful deeds of the Most High. At the time that I choose, I will judge the righteous, while the earth and all its inhabitants will melt away. It is I who kept its pillars firm. I will say to the proud, don't brag. To the wicked, don't vaunt your strength. Do not use your strength to fight heaven. And trust me. These people are lining up to fight the heavenly host. It's called Space Force, the sixth branch of the United States. Most often that's futile. Don't use your strength to fight heaven or speak from stubborn arrogance. For exaltation comes not from the east, from the west, or the wilderness, since Elohim is the judge. After all having been said, no matter what people say, what nature say, what leaders say, to final analysis, Yah is judging everything. This one, he will debase, or that one, he will exalt. It's his choice. For there is a cup in the hand of Yah, foaming with well-mixed wine, that he will pour out, leaving only the dregs from which all the wicked of the earth will drink. How much of the wicked of the earth is going to drink this concoction? Yeah, better get ready if you're wicked. And it ain't the wine you buy from the liquor store. We'll read that again. Yah has a cup in his hand, foaming with well-mixed wine that he will pour out, futuristic, leaving only the dregs. Ain't going to be nothing left in the cup from which all the wicked of the earth will drink. So I ain't worried about a thing because I ain't on that wicked side. But after me, I will declare forever singing praise to the Elohim of Yahuwah. So how can you declare that forever if you're not living forever? Which means there is an element in Yah's creation called everlasting life. So Asaph is saying, after me, I will declare forever singing praise to the Elohim of Yahuwah. I will cut down the strength of the wicked, but the strength of the righteous will be lifted up while it's crushed right now. That day is coming, because y'all gonna pour that cup out. And they ain't gonna leave nothing behind. And everybody that's wicked on earth, take a sip, drink it up. So y'all coming for you.
All right. Thank you, Cottrell. That was very interesting and informative. And I hope you utilize it. It's not here for you just use as a book, a bookmark, or to be a bookend. Word of not, Yah is not for your bookends, okay? It's there to help facilitate and monitor and make sure you're living the right life, a life righteous according to the Most High standards. And you got to understand the dynamic. It's a relationship, people. It's a relationship with a nation of people. Not only it's a relation with a nation of people, it's a relation with other nations. Okay? In order to get the best out of it, you got to put the best in. That being said, fellow students, Trail, Contra, do you have any closing remarks, my friend?
Enough said. I'm done. The song said it all, bro.
All right, then. Well, Contra, have another. May the rest of your day be pleasant, and may you continue to be blessed by the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Fellow students, may you have a blessed day, and may you continue to be blessed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And blessed be his holy name for giving you the opportunity to come study with us. It's a blessing. And as we always said, let the Most High direct in all your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute. And also, we suggest that at the end of every one of these study sessions, that you ask the Most High for the right kind of spirit, which is a steadfast. No matter, you're not panicked, you're not letting fear supersede you, you're not letting what they're doing, because everybody doing it, you got to do it. You ain't got to do what everybody else do. You got to do what the Most High tells you to do. You can take that to the bank. Forget what everybody is doing. That doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything. What matters is you learn to facilitate yourself within the confines of this relationship. And who's on top? And you're not. Meaning, you have to follow the rules. It's just that, and have a steadfast spirit to keep you in between the lines. And also to have the right kind of heart, just like King Dawg. Ask for a heart similar to nature like King Dawg. No, you're not the king, but you can get a heart just like that. A heart which looks like what? A heart which loves the Most High. But all that heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, in addition to that, which is very important, your brothers and sisters as yourself. And then what does that mean? You got to learn to love yourself. Stop letting them people tell you this, that, and the other. Learn to love yourself. And learn to love your brothers and sisters like you love yourself. And finally, the thirst after righteousness. You got to have. You can't do without it. And when you miss a day or so, it just grinds on you. Man, I got to get me some study in, man. Ooh. I'm just feeling just dry. I ain't feeling right. That's right, God. Well, Cottrell and I, we don't know much. But we do know this. You've been getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. Cottrell, lead student, along with me, a lead student, is studying right along with you. We're learning all together. Don't think we're anything special. We aren't. And we never suggest, infer, and imply that. And don't follow us. Follow the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Therein is your solution. Therein is your answer to all that assails you. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.